of knowing.
All right, Mal, welcome to Crow 777 Radio. This is episode 568. Jason Lindgren is with me, and we have Bart Sabrell. Bart contacted us sometime back. He sent me a copy of his book, which I'll have him mention in a minute for those of you that might want to look at it. And I read the vast majority of it. This is not new territory for us. The moon landings, you know, I would be surprised if you went out into America and asked, say, 1,000 people if more than half, significantly more than half, aren't buying the moon landing. But I guess a poll like that remains to be taken. Anyhow, welcome, Jason.
And good morning.
All right. Welcome, Bart.
Good to be here. How's everybody?
We're hanging in there, but you're in the middle of the night in your part of the world.
Yeah, what can you do?
What can you do? Why don't you tell folks where they can find you, your book, and all that kind of good stuff?
Yeah, it's just my last name.com. S as in Sam, I, B as in boy, R-E-L, Sabrell.com. And I recently released a book called Moon Man, The True Story of a Filmmaker on the CIA Hit List, which is in audio, which I read myself, Kindle or print. And it goes into the backstory of my infamous movie, A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon, which you can watch for free at the homepage of Sabrell.com. In fact, the book is interactive. It has 17 video clips. So, for example, I might write the first chapter and then say, go to link one at Sabrell.com before you read the next chapter, so you know what I'm talking about. And I go into the backstory of a lot of information that I was given that I knew about, but literally asked not to put in the movie because certain people involved were still alive. And mind you, the film was financed by a millionaire who builds rockets for NASA, who knows that the moon missions are fake and thought it was his patriotic duty to expose it. So all of this is in the book, including a recent deathbed confession from an eyewitness who was the chief of security at a military base, and as he was dying, firstly confessed that he was a murderer, and the military police came in because he killed a coworker back in 1968 when they did the investigation as to why this murder was committed. He said it was to cover up the moon landing fraud, which they both eyewitnessed at their military base. They had the dates of the filming of Apollo 11, June 1st, 2nd, and 3rd of 1968 at Cannon Air Force Base in Clovis, New Mexico. And his friend thought it was morally wrong. And as the chief of security, he killed him to keep it a secret. So we have that in the book. We have the homicides of the Apollo 1 crew. I interviewed Betty Grissom. She was the widow of the man who was going to be the first man to walk on the moon. And she told me that her husband told her the day before he died that for some strange reason, the CIA was all over the launch pad at NASA inspecting the equipment. And the very next day, he's dead from faulty equipment because he was a whistleblower at NASA. And then I go into my behind the scenes, you could say, X-Files adventures, literally being chased by the CIA and drugged with truth serum and all these strange things that went on in my life that I've never talked about before. I figured this book is my opportunity to just tell everything, tell every detail about the production of the film, all the secrets about it, every detail that I can think of. And there's even some I can talk about in this interview that are not in the book because one person was still alive when the book was published and they didn't want me to mention their name until after their death. So it's an amazing book. It took me 15 years to write and just, I think, 2 years just to edit it. And this is sad, but true. I mean, we have so much proof that the moon missions were falsified. And I can't help but think, Crow, about when Clinton was asked, why did you have that affair in the Oval Office? And the reason he gave was because I could, meaning because I could get away with it. And the moon landing fraud was a completely unnecessary lie. They could have just said, well, we won't be able to keep a goal. And but they didn't. They did it because they could get away with it. And it just shows the complete arrogance. But it's different than who shot JFK or 9/11. I mean, 9/11 and JFK, they did happen. It's just a matter of who did it and why. This is different. This is a positive lie and a complete fabrication. And you have the people who were deceived defending the lie because, you know, like I did Glenn Beck show a few months ago, and he's like, after me, he has on an Apollo astronaut kissing his feet, calling him a national hero when he's an accessory to multiple homicides. And because in Glenn Beck's mind, I know America has gotten bad, but at least we went to the moon, you know? And I'm like, oh my gosh, if people only knew how bad it was. And I think, you know, the interesting thing is the moon landing fraud coming out, even though it killed fewer people than 9/11 or even the JFK witness list, I think it's the key to bringing down the corrupt federal government, because it's going to enrage people in a different way. The NBC news director, when I found this classified footage of them faking part of the moon mission right in front of your eyes, if you can imagine, that's the thing that got me into all this trouble with the CIA and convinced me that we didn't go. You can see this for free at Sibrel.com. And a funny thing happened on the way to the moon. And he said that it proved beyond a doubt that the moon missions were falsified, but he refused to broadcast it for fear it causes civil war. He said, Pete, this is going to bring down the federal government. And he says, I'm not going to go down in history as the man who was responsible for bringing down the federal government. I was like, so you're telling me if we tell the public how corrupt the federal government really is, it'll bring down the federal government? Isn't that what's supposed to happen? So that's kind of the state of things. And the most bizarre thing about this is it's absolutely true. I mean, there's so much proof. The simplest is that, you know, today with 54 years better technology, they can only send an astronaut 1,000th the distance to the moon. That's why there's mannequins orbiting the moon. Strange, isn't it? You can drive cars and play golf on the moon in 1969, but today you can't even land and you can't even send humans to orbit. They have to be mannequins because of deadly radiation. Isn't that interesting? So what they're really saying is they had 1,000 times greater space traveling capability in 1969, when all of NASA had 1 millionth the computing power of a cell phone than they do today, which means technology was greater in the past and in the future for the first time in the history of the world. I mean, if it weren't for people's emotional attachment, they would see the obviousness of this. And then shadows intersecting, an eyewitness, footage of them faking it right in front of your eyes. I mean, there's so much proof that they didn't go. And then you probably know the latest one. There was this big AI conference in Russia. You know how they have like car conventions and video conventions of video equipment and so forth. Well, they, you know, they showcase these cars that go 150 miles per gallon or whatever. Well, they had the latest AI convention about 2 or 3 months ago, and they let all the elite members have access to the most advanced AI for like 3 days. You can ask it to write a symphony or a novel or paint a picture, whatever you want. So one team fed it a particular photograph or series of photographs from the moon's surface from the Chinese probes from a couple of years ago. It has a special deep fake detection program. Mind you, this is called a neural network. It's a network of AIs connected together to form a super AI. It's the most intelligent entity on planet Earth. And they fed it pictures from the moon's surface, from China, from probes that are unmanned, and they ran it through its deep fake detection, which has never been wrong. It can tell you whether a video of Trump or Biden is real or not. And it said of the pictures from China of the moon, you know, they're real. And then they fed them Apollo pictures from the 1960s and 70s. And there are all these marks on them, why the background is fake, the foreground is fake, and this is fake, and that is fake. So either Google and their multi-million dollar, multi-year investment is a piece of junk and they're completely inept at Google, or the moon landings were fake.
We should break that down because that's a big deal. I saw that article on that whole thing. The reason why the Apollo photos are going to come up as fake is because, and Crow and I have done this, we did this years ago, in fact, early on in our career together, they have since doctored up the photos massively because back in the day, people like Jay Widener and even Hoagland, they were taking those pictures and dumping them in Photoshop and jacking levels and seeing stuff in the background, things like that that shouldn't be there, and seeing square boxes around the Earth in the background, things like that. And now all of a sudden you can't find those anymore because NASA or whoever they had do it has doctored everything up and all that. So anything you see nowadays is going to be so heavily Photoshopped that, of course, a computer like that's going to pick it up.
Well, yeah, also just picked up things in the original, like the shadows going different directions. And if you go to Sobrel.com on the homepage, is a video called The Moon Landing Fraud in 3 Minutes, where I show if you go out in sunlight, two trees, two telephone poles, two people in your front yard or parking lot at work, if there's no clouds in the sky, you see your shadows will always run parallel. It's impossible for them not to run parallel in sunlight. The sun's a million times bigger than the Earth. They're going to throw shadows in the same direction over the whole continent or moon. And then we show a picture allegedly from Apollo 17 where the shadows intersect at 90 degrees from objects 5 feet apart, you know, which is impossible in sunlight, which means it's an electrical light, which means they're on Earth. And then in the original pictures, the moon's surface was a caramel brown color because that's the color it actually is. And then the background was kind of a grayish blue, but that gave away the fake backdrops. So if you can get on eBay or go to the library, get a book from the, you know, early 70s, you'll see the background and the surface are different colors. But the pictures now on NASA's website, they changed the soil color to gray instead of caramel brown. But if you look at the pictures from the Chinese probes, they're caramel brown because that's the real color of it.
Bart, you're accepting that the Chinese have a probe on the moon right now?
Well, the AI said it was real, and that's what I believe. It's real. Yeah.
I don't accept that anyone can even get to the moon. So we differ on that point. But I would point out that if the image was taken in an ingenious way, in other words, they really did take a snapshot of something, I think it could pass muster with the AI, whereas must have been 2013, 2014, I broke in, well, logged in to the NASA archives, and I grabbed image after image after image. One of them was the moonrise. And simply put it in Photoshop, and literally anyone who uses Photoshop, I took the levels adjuster and you can jack it up or you can jack it down. And that one simple act showed that the original moon or Earth rise over the moon was, well, first of all, the Earth was the wrong size, but it was cropped in. You could see the crop box. So I went and I did things like Pluto. I did a bunch of them. Some of the videos may still be up on my YouTube channel. And that's what I simply did. And there was not an image available that was not doctored, Photoshopped. In terms of the later ones, like Pluto, they were complete fabrications. In other words, there wasn't a real pixel of anything in any of the images. But I think for where I stand, I don't think that we can get out of our atmosphere. But if you choose to accept that the Chinese are there, then that would actually make them the first people to successfully get there, wouldn't it?
Well, the U.S. claimed to have an unmanned probe there, and the Russians claimed to have an unmanned probe there earlier. This is the most recent ones. And of course, the fact that they did fake the moon landing means they can't be trusted. And so I wouldn't trust anything NASA says. Or maybe it's like, you know, the root word of wicked, which is a candle wick of two things together. Maybe some are real, some are fake. And that's the best way to fool people. I don't know. It's interesting that people's number one proof that aliens exist is the fact that the Apollo astronauts say so. You know what I mean? When right. They spend their whole life lying about the moon landing.
Let me ask you about that, because of all the people that we would ever interview, Jason, I'm guessing Bart's the only guy we know that spoke to this number of astronauts.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people wonder, did they know, like you spoke to Grissom's widow, just so people listening, supposedly Grissom was burned up to death on the launch pad. As Bart mentioned, his widow said that there were CIA agents all over the launch pad. She was told that the day before he burned to death. But do you feel like if I could talk to Gus Grissom the day before he died, do you think he believed that they were going to the moon?
I think he believed that their intention was real. But their schedule was dramatically off. He said it was at least 10 years away from going to the moon, not 2 years. They faked it officially in June of 1968. And it appears to me that at the time Grissom was killed, they had not yet told the astronauts of the contingency plan to fake it. That was January of 67, and they actually filmed it a year and a half later. So I believe at that point, the astronauts did not know. He was getting frustrated because the higher-ups were working on the plan of faking it, had not told the astronauts, and he couldn't understand why they weren't fixing anything because they knew they weren't going to use it. And that's why. And Bill Casing said the same thing. He said, as soon as a team of people became masterful at their department, they would break them up and bring in completely new people so that no one would really have a clear picture of what was going on. In fact, Eugene Krantz, flight director, said that a computer operator in the command center at Houston could tell no difference whatsoever between a simulated flight and an actual flight. It's just a bunch of numbers going by on a screen.
There it is.
I get these emails, people, well, my father worked at NASA and they must be real. And I'm like, well, if a ground control person in the command center can't tell the difference between a real flight and a fake flight, I don't think your father could tell working on the glove or the door or the boot. We have to understand the atomic bomb involved 129,500 people in its construction during World War II, but only 8 people knew what was going on. And so you can keep a secret through departmentalization, because there's really only 3 eyewitnesses, right? You go up and we have to take their word that what we're seeing and hearing are authentic from a bunch of military people from a corrupt government, right? My eyewitness said that President Johnson himself was there the first of 3 days of filming. He was there June 1st, 1968, and gave my source a list of 15 people who were allowed in to observe the filming of Apollo 11. And he said only these people are allowed in. He kept it as a private souvenir, and we published that list in the book. And it's pretty startling. Some of these people I had heard of and other people I had not heard of.
They make fun of this in at least 2 movies I can think of. The James Bond, I think it's Diamonds Are Forever.
Yep.
They do their little skit where there's a fake set. And then what's the other movie? Is it Capricorn 1?
Yep.
Yeah. So there's actually more, but they're kind of poking fun. But I want to pull this back around, because you've had contact with these individuals. You've actually looked them in the eye. So of the people that we see get interviewed that want to say things like, oh, yeah, I saw hundreds of UFOs. And I forget, is it Gene Cernan, the guy who paints? One of the guys paints, and he paints all these colors saying you have no idea what the moon looks like. In other words, they are perpetuating the lie, the provable lie, from my point of view, that we did this. Do you think that those men have been messed with in some way so that they think that they went to a place they didn't? Or do you think they're lying and know that they're lying?
I'm sure they considered brainwashing them. It's just not reliable enough. In order to pull off a lie like this, you need to have an intelligent, articulate person. These people were completely aware that they're lying. You can see it on their faces if you see Astronauts Gone Wild, which you can see for free at Sobrel.com, when I interview Ed Mitchell and I show him the classified footage of fake photography of them using a 1-foot model of the Earth to pretend they're halfway to the moon.
Is that the clip when he gets all pissed off at you and threatens to kick you in the butt or something like that?
Well, yeah, he actually does kick me in the butt from behind on camera. He turns beet red. And after he assaults me, we accidentally leave a wireless microphone on him, and my camera operator is so startled, he forgets to hit stop record. So while the camera's in the back seat of the rental car in the guy's driveway, we're recording the audio of him and his son private conversation in their house with the door closed. And months later, when a transcript of it was done, the film secretary calls me up frantically saying, well, do you know what they're talking about on their private conversations before you turned and, you know, got your microphone back? I'm like, I don't know what. She said, they're talking about calling the CIA to have you killed. And they are. So first of all, why would an Apollo astronaut have the CIA in his Rolodex, for one? Secondly, if I'm some silly person who thinks they faked it, you know, on Earth when they really went, why would the CIA care? You see what I'm saying? So the fact that I'm being threatened with death means that I'm correct.
You have that recording where they're basically threatening you with death?
Absolutely. It's in Astronauts Gone Wild. Go to Sabrell.com and click on the top left button, Moonman Video Links, and go down to whichever one is Astronauts Gone Wild. It's one of the clips in the interactive book, Moonman, the true story of a filmmaker on the CIA hit list. Because they say, do you want to call the CIA and have them whacked? That's what they say. Crystal clear on camera. And then I'm literally running from the CIA in the middle of the night. They follow me from church. And then I, you know, they disable my car while I'm driving it. I mean, all this I go into great detail in a chapter called The Funny Thing Happened on the Way to CNN. And the next chapter, A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to Church. I'm literally being chased on foot the day I find this classified footage by, I presume, CIA agents in the middle of the night out in a dark highway.
Do you feel like they had the intention of doing away with you? Why were they following you?
Well, they wanted to get a copy of the tape. They had heard me talk about it on the phone to Bill Casey, but they hadn't seen it. And so they were anxious to see it. And so I hired a taxi. They disabled my car. I hired a taxi to drive me from Nashville to Atlanta in the middle of the night. I'm literally about to hand the tape to a reporter through a backdoor alley of CNN. And I'm surrounded by government agents and unmarked vehicles who handcuff me, take the tape, and they put something on my wrist that I can hear them talking about behind me. Do you have the thing? I thought he had the thing. Oh, here's the thing. Well, the thing is like this. It looks like kind of like a bracelet you get when you go into the hospital or something. And a few, you know, half a minute or so after that, I feel like I'm on LSD. And that's why they were handling it with rubber gloves. And it was put where my wrist is. It was absorbed through my wrist. And I'm vomiting. The drugs are so bad. They put me in a dark van, completely pitch black. The next thing I know, I'm out in bright sunlight. They're interrogating me with a clipboard and questions. I tell them everything they want to know.
Do you remember the questions?
I remember it was like, where's the original tape and where's your son? I had a toddler son. I was concerned that they might kidnap him to blackmail me. They asked me where he was located. I remember that as one of the first questions. And I think that's all that I remember, those first two questions.
And you were trying to get footage to CNN.
That's right. I had a reporter friend at CNN who was a member of my church, and we were going to broadcast nationwide the fact that the moon missions are fake. NBC made that attempt twice to broadcast it, and they were threatened by the federal government. And so in any case, I escaped their custody, believe it or not. I make my way back to Nashville, and I say to myself, Crow and Jason, I say, I got them. I got truth serum in me, right? So I'm thinking, what I'm going to do, I'm going to pee in a cup. I'm going to give that to a friend to put in a lab in his name, and I'm going to show that to the news director at NBC, right? I'm going to say, look, we got this sodium pentothal or whatever the heck it might be. Some exotic truth serum drug is in there that no one else would have except somebody like the CIA. So after a couple of days go by, I meet with my friend and I say, hey, you know, what are the lab results? And he says, well, there was a problem at the lab. And I'm like, oh, what problem? He says, well, funny thing, they had a break-in over the weekend. And I said, yeah, so what? He said, well, funny thing, the only thing stolen was your urine sample.
This is kind of the problem, though, because everybody knows that the media in this country has been owned and operated for a long time. So even if you had the most damning evidence in the world, I don't think most people would buy that it's ever going to see the light of day, certainly never be aired. I'm just saying, you're going to some small lab and saying that they just walked in the door and took what they wanted. You know, when you start talking about mainstream media, that's about as controlled as it gets. I mean, look at the narrative during COVID, how tightly it's controlled. Even now we have doctors all over the place that are trying to come forward and talk about alarming death rates, and they still can't speak what's on their mind because of the overwhelming controls on mainstream media. I mean, I'm just adding that in.
Yeah, I think it becomes more and more controlled over time. This was several years ago, and there are sincere people working in news agencies. They can't control every individual. They do tell them what to cover.
Well, they do control what goes out over the airways with an iron fist. There's no way a rogue anybody or a whistleblower anybody is ever going to get something aired. Jason and I did a quite in-depth episode on how CNN flipped the switch to turn news into 24/7. And it's a whole occult process they used, using the ancient myth, truth down the well. But in that case, there were a couple of emergencies. One was a space shuttle exploding. The other one was a baby down a well. But to back up to where you were earlier, I think that they were iffy about the entirety of the announcing that we, you know, back in the day in the 60s, that we were going to land on the moon. And the reason I think that is based on a joke that I used to say. I called it Moon Manson Woodstock, because if you look at what happened, these major, major media events, each one of them manipulated or staged at some level, happened one right after the other. In other words, it almost feels like they rolled out the moon mission, and then quickly another big event was rolled out to get people to look away. So I think there was doubt even back then about how many people would buy it.
Yeah, they definitely took a chance faking it, but they did, and they got away with it, the majority of it. I mean, right now, I think the latest survey says 75% of Americans doubt that Oswald killed Kennedy, and yet the Kennedy assassination files are still not open. So a majority doesn't seem to matter anymore. 90% of Americans wanted GMO labeling on their food, and the president vetoed it. You see, we don't have a democracy, and it seems like it doesn't even matter if 90% of Americans want something. So what? They're going to run the show.
Yeah, we've covered this as well. Our government is not a government. It's a corporation. What's the date, Jason? I mean, we may have had something that resembled what people want America to be. Do you got the date in your head, Jason, roughly when we flipped over?
1871.
1871. From that point forward, we've had a corporation. Well, what could be called a corporation? And it does not take a genius to comprehend. These are crucial to what we're covering here. These ideas, because who does a corporation serve? A corporation does not serve its customers. A corporation serves its shareholders. You might make the argument that it serves its board of directors, but more directly, its shareholders. And so our government is not a democracy. It has not been a democracy in any family member that I can even recall's lifetime. And so when we begin to think about what you just said, 90% of Americans want this, that, or the other thing, I think it's pretty clear that there is basically a world takeover in process. Look what's going on in Europe right now. There is no mainstream news coverage of the massive upheaval. And last count I heard, Jason, you might know better than me, I think it's between 17 and 20 nations have major, I don't know if I'm going to call it rioting, but major upheavals. And yet the mainstream media isn't touching it. And I think these are crucial things to keep in mind when we talk about things like the moon landing, because one of the premises is that if something as big as the moon landing was proven on the evening news beyond doubt to be fake, that it would bring down the government. And I think I'm of a mind that they actually plan to release that JFK is not what you thought. The moon is not what you thought. And we've done episodes with regard to how that is done. I mean, what would you add, Jason? I mean, you know where I'm going with this.
It's pretty apparent that they're slowly but surely tearing our country down. And this could be the final or one of the final things they do to just destroy the absolute credibility in people's minds of what the United States was. I mean, when you think back to when the whole space program was the thing on people's minds, we're talking about like the late 50s. And the 1960s, and people were extremely patriotic for the most part back then.
Right.
They're not anymore.
Right.
And all we're seeing is the tearing down, the social engineering of the destruction of the United States. I mean, that much is apparent. They're printing money to the point of ridiculousness. They're letting literally millions of people pour into our borders. You want to tell me that they're not planning for this country to go away at some point? We know what they're doing. We know that they're planning a central bank digital currency for the whole world. We know what they're doing. So this could just be one more thing that they could finally just drop on everybody and be like, oh, yeah, and you guys suck. You never actually did this either.
Well, one of the things that Bart brought up early on is the kind of logic that I appreciate. And the way that you framed it, Bart, I think is valuable. You pointed out that, hey, man, we had this non-tech compared to what we had back in the day. And we got our little Dune buggy and, you know, we're playing golf on the moon. And you framed it as 1,000 times more capable than we are now with all the technology. That logic is so sound that in my view, no further logic is even required to come to the conclusion that the moon landing didn't happen. That logic alone creates a problem that can't be surmounted. I did a similar thing with the atomic bombs on Hiroshima. I said, show me a time when there were not plants, animals, human beings, and drinkable water in Hiroshima. Because if you can't, then what you have told us is true of an atomic bomb blast is not true. And these kind of bulletproof logics, I think, are really, really important. But I want to come back around to the astronauts because you have spoken to so many of them. Do you know if anyone has taken the time to look into the backgrounds of these men? Back in the day in the 60s, the picture that was painted to be an astronaut was you had to be the best of the best. Even go look at the movie like, I don't know, what is it? A Few Good Men, I think. No. Whichever one it is where they're showing the prep that they supposedly put these men through, it is grueling what they supposedly had to do to become an astronaut. And now look today at what it takes to supposedly be an astronaut. Now, Jason had brought forward a long time ago work done on Laurel Canyon, where a man had taken the time, McGowan, to show the backgrounds of all the people involved in putting forward basically the psychological operation. And so my question is, do you feel like these are not run-of-the-mill individuals, that they were carefully selected? Like, take someone like Buzz Aldrin, who seems to be all in to this day. Is there a background there that queued him up to fill this role? Or, I mean, what's your take on it?
Well, other people have showed me that they're all Masons, 33-degree Masons. They have Masonic rings on, Masonic symbols on their patches of the astronaut suit. So maybe that's it. That's the elitist group that they're a part of. I don't know.
Do you know how their oaths work, Bart? When you take your oaths to the Freemasonic Lodge, where you are under oath, blood oaths, to support your fellow Mason for all circumstances. I'm trying to remember. I haven't looked at this in a while. For all circumstances other than murder and a traitor to your country. And then it's optional. Like, your oaths to the lodge come first. So if these astronauts are all Freemasons, they're putting their obligations, as they're sometimes called, first. And one of the heads of NASA, the guy who was the manager for the command and service modules during the Apollo era, his name was Kenneth Kleinecht, was also a 33rd degree Freemason. So who are they answering to? They're answering to themselves.
I think it would be so interesting for someone like you to do a similar thing that McGowan did in Laurel Canyon and go into the backgrounds where McGowan showed that all these supposed rock stars were part of the military-industrial complex. And I guess I'd be almost willing to bet that there's some similar thing going on here. I mean, I'm just putting the bug in your ear.
Yeah, there's some strange things going on. You know, just before this call, I have been saying for years, the CIA runs the country. And now, just before this call, I'm thinking, well, who are these people? Who are the people who are running the CIA, running our country, running the world? Who are they? You know what I mean? They're obviously not working for the American people. Who are they working for? Whose orders are they taking? They're following somebody's orders, you see? And I was just wondering that for the first time. Okay, we're run by the CIA, but who is giving them their orders? There's some group, club, whatever you want to call it, world leaders who are pulling the strings, and it certainly appears they're not ethical people. They lie, they murder, they steal, and they do it continually. And the more they get away with it, the more they're emboldened to keep doing it. I mean, Robert McNamara said before he died that the whole reason the Vietnam War started known as the Gulf of Tonkin attack, in which Congress passed a law, the Gulf of Tonkin Resolution, so that the U.S. could enter the war. He said before he died that that event never happened.
Correct.
We contrived the fake attack by a North Vietnamese ship on an American ship. So Congress passed a law based on a CIA fabrication. And then Robert Kennedy Jr., who has more access to the JFK files than Oliver Stone does, says his uncle was killed by the CIA. So if they're willing to kill their own president, willing to start wars that needlessly kill 58,220 of their own citizens, I don't think they're going to have a problem with faking an image of the moon on a television set, do you?
Well, it's kind of case in point. And luckily, if you really want to have a pretty in-depth perspective of the question you just asked, as far as I know, the man who illustrated it the best in public was Jordan Maxwell. Who's pulling the strings? Who's whose? There are others, but Jordan Maxwell did quite a good job of simplifying and laying it out. In terms of the Gulf of Tonkin, that admiral who lied and pulled that false flag had a son. Are you aware of who his son is?
No. Mm-mm.
Jim Morrison of the Doors, who was launching a cultural attack on America to destroy the family unit, to drug us all out. Very effective. So as the admiral was busy in the military machine, his son was busy in a record studio doing the cultural damage that has been done. And so these are the key things that I think we can't overlook when we begin to look at things like the moon launch. I, for one, would be very interested to see where these people came from. Were they groomed into it? I mean, we know they were Masons. So as Jason said, they're under an oath. This has always been a problem. Back in the day, in earlier days in America, judges that were Masons became a huge problem for the public because it was pretty clear that there was an oath going on. So how could they do their job in court if they're subject to a different oath?
Well, as far as the men are concerned, wouldn't you think that they are under top secret clearance, that they would only choose the kind of people who they know aren't going to spill the beans? When we're talking about the early space program, we didn't have teachers and scientists and all that. This was all supposedly the best of the best military people and only military people. So I would think that these are just people still keeping to whatever top secret clearances or whatever it is that they've already sworn to.
Well, I talked with someone recently who was on a submarine, and he said that he worked side by side a particular individual on a submarine and even slept in the same room with him, and years later found out that there were secrets being kept from him from that person. So you can have a secret society going on in a submarine and secrets being kept between two people who work side by side 8 or 12 hours a day, sleep in the same room, and yet somehow, some way, are in completely different realms of secrecy. And the odd thing about this, it's not just like they faked splitting the atom or they faked, the fastest airplane. They faked what is considered to be the world's greatest accomplishment, mankind's greatest accomplishment, science's greatest accomplishment. If you watch A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon, I open up with the Tower of Babel. You know, it was designed to boast, the tallest building. They're still boasting about that today. And then we showed the Titanic, which they boasted was a ship that God himself could not sink. And then we show Richard Nixon talking to them allegedly on the phone from the White House to the moon. And he said, knowing they were really not on the moon, that this is the greatest event since creation itself. And I think this is spiritually symbolic of something. The faking of the moon landing just shows us where we are as a species, as a race of people. When I popped in that tape and I saw that they really did fake the moon mission, I just quietly wept. It was like, wow, how sad is this? They really did fake the moon landing. The greatest nation on earth, the greatest accomplishment of science, completely made up. And that people are that arrogant to lie to other people, to want to control them, manipulate them. And they don't apparently have a problem sleeping at night doing this. It just boggles my mind. I don't know about you all, but I think about judgment and God and the afterlife all the time. I'm constantly thinking, am I driving spiritual enough? Am I letting people in, you know, in traffic? And imagine the people who are deliberately deceiving millions or billions or injuring millions or billions for profit. I don't know. You would think they would fear the judgment of God after they die, but I guess they don't.
They don't, because you are the one who walked up to them with a Bible, and you would think that the thing was on fire and they wouldn't put their hand on it.
Well, something's going on. You know, originally I turned down this project because I feared it could be true. I feared, well, maybe they really did fake the moon landing. It. The more I looked into it with the shadows intersecting and the weird behavior of the astronauts, I said, you know, something doesn't smell right about this. And if I start digging into this and they really did not go to the moon, that could be dangerous. So I actually turned down the project. And it wasn't until years later, I started reading the Bible, not that I was a Christian, but it developed a conviction in me of right and wrong and a judgment to come. And it just kind of dawned on me that if they faked it, that that is actually more profound than if they had actually gone. Do you see that? If, let's say, they could go plant a flag, come back, whoop-de-doo, or they lied to the whole world. They printed a falsehood on every newspaper and magazine cover and TV station and radio station. It's in the encyclopedia and on stamps, on coins, ticker tape parades, medals of honor, and all made up. If that happened, that's so much more profound historically than if they'd actually gone. Do you see that? It's the faking of the moon landing that is really one of the most profound moments in human history. And until the truth comes out, we can't learn from it. It's like having a cure for cancer and someone's keeping it a secret. We have this great truth of the state of things, and the moon landing fraud best and most eloquently states the state of things. Our greatest accomplishment is a fraud. The greatest nation on earth is corrupt. You see, and science's God is wrong. It's a falsehood, you see. And so when their own messiah of science, which is AI, says that the moon missions are fake, I think that's a dangerous threshold that has been crossed. I'd say it's kind of like the finger coming out of the dike that may take 2 years for that ripple to bring down the moon landing fraud, but I think it's too late to put the genie back in the bottle. AI has declared the moon missions are fake. So either Google's AI is a piece of junk or they didn't go to the moon. You know,
everything you just said, you know, that is pretty profound observation. But I would submit to you, we've covered a thing called revelation of method, which is created to demoralize. And when we consider what you just said, the level at which the faking of this event matters and what it says about us as a species in this world, they've already begun the revelation of method. And I hope I don't mess this up because I'm not really up on a lot of movies, but there was a movie called, I think it's Interstellar, where they already started to roll out on major Hollywood film sets that the moon landing was faked, and the excuse that was paired with it for the first time that I've heard it outed on such a large stage, was that we had to because we were at a blood feud with Russia. Is that right, Jason? Am I picking the right movie? I think it's Interstellar.
Yeah, that's right. It's in the beginning of the movie.
Yeah. So they flat out begin the process of revelation of method. Now, we've covered some of the people who made us aware of what revelation of method is. James Shelby Downard is probably the first person who defined it in a way that we could comprehend. The co-author of the book he wrote is Michael Hoffman, which we've had on a number of times. But JFK, the moon landing, 9/11, all have been put forward as being part of an intended revelation of method. So when we go back to what you just said about the gravity of a lie of that magnitude, and if it is correct that it will be used for revelation of method, the demoralization that will follow will be far from the idea of a crumbling government or anything else. It will be the complete demoralization of, well, mostly America, I guess, but in general, every human being.
Yeah, interesting thing about that movie, it was Interstellar, and they said that the girl in school who said that the moon missions were fake got punched for saying it. That was kind of funny.
Actually, I want to talk about the punch before we get out of hour one. Do I have enough time to bring up the punch, Jason?
Yep, go for it.
Okay, we got a few minutes before we take a break for hour one. So sounds like you've been assaulted by at least two astronauts gone wild. Is that right? Two?
Yeah. One punched me, one kicked me, one threatened to punch me, one threatened to shoot me, one threatened to have me killed by the CIA.
Okay. Astronauts gone completely wild. The one that I think made you so famous was Buzz Aldrin. Can you tell us about that incident? Did he really try to knock your teeth in? Was that a heartfelt, I really want to punch your lights out? Or was something else going on there?
Well, no, he was angry. We had already produced A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon. And I guess from maybe memories of childhood TV programs, courtrooms, where you swear that you're telling the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, I came up with the idea of, well, why don't we just track down some of these astronauts and ask them to swear in a Bible that their moon missions are authentic. Mind you, I had a millionaire rocket builder of NASA backing me. We hired private detectives to track down these astronauts. And about half of them, we asked for an interview. I said, I'm doing a documentary about the moon landings, which is true. And then we would sit them down and I would ask them some simple questions. And then the questions would become more and more difficult to where it would become obvious that I don't think they actually walked on the moon. People who didn't give interviews, like Neil Armstrong and Michael Collins, we tracked down at public events. And on one of these occasions, Buzz Aldrin, actually, there are two interviews of him in Astronauts Gone Wild. Again, you can see this for free at Sabrell.com. And the first one, we had a sit-down interview with him. And I showed him the fake footage, which he was a part of filming. And he said, well, where did you get this? And I said, serendipity. And he basically thought the story had broken worldwide that the moon missions were fake. Because my company at the time was called ABC Digital. He thought it was the ABC News Network. We had two cameras, you know, a full crew, TV monitors, and he thought the story had broken worldwide that the moon missions are fake. And so he said, and we have this on camera, oh, and this makes you a real famous person for having discovered this. What an ego you must have to want to propel your career like this. Basically, he's admitting I'm correct, because how could I become famous if I'm wrong? He says, I'm just out for the scoop of the century, right? And then he said, well, we were just passengers. He referred to him and Neil Armstrong as passengers. Go talk to the administrator of NASA, he said. Well, passengers just orbit the Earth for 8 days, which is what I believe they did. They don't actually pilot a vehicle. So he made two admissions that we were correct on camera. And then the second instance that we have in Astronauts Gone Wild is where we were paying him, I think we paid him $2,000 an hour for an interview he was giving to Japanese television network that we were affiliated with. And afterwards, I was their surprise guest, and I asked him to swear on the Bible. Now, I didn't wake up that morning saying, I can't wait to call Buzz Aldrin a coward, a liar, and a thief. And I'm sure he didn't wake up that morning saying, I can't wait to punch Bart Sabrell the next time I see him. It's just one of those things that got heated. And, you know, he did lie. So I called him. That's why I called him a liar. And he was a thief, because we gave him $2,000 to expound on an event that he fabricated. So that was stealing that money. We were there to give the testimony of walking on the moon, not a fake testimony. And it was the coward one that really provoked the punch. But he's afraid to look bad. The reason why he doesn't come forward and tell the truth is he's afraid to look bad. He spent his whole life being known as the man who walked on the moon. Well, I know someone personally who met him at a party when he was drunk, and he confided in him he never walked on the moon. And of course, he's said that to me and so many words off the record as well. And so the punch happened, and it really, what the word that got him was when I called him a coward. That really, you know, made him mad.
Did he really, I mean, did you really get punched? Did it hurt you?
Yeah, it did. It hurt my tooth for about a year. I had a sore tooth. And you can see the video at Sabrell.com. It's in Astronauts Gone Wild, which is one of the interactive video clips. You don't have to buy the book. You can just go to Moonman Video Links and watch all the links for free.
That clip's gone around the world a few times, I think. But we're coming to the top of the first hour. So I'm going to pick up when we come back and open up for hour two. I want to finish out with the ideas around Buzz Aldrin. Maybe we should just call him Buzz Lightyear. But Jason, anything you want to get in before I wrap up hour one?
Well, it's kind of funny. You certainly hit a nerve with him. And he's been kind of weird of late. Now that he's quite elderly, he kind of gives people really funny looks and seems to say funny old man things in kind of cryptic ways, almost like he's giving it away, but not quite. But I don't think he's going to spill the beans because he's still got his obligations to fulfill till he's gone.
Well, for my money, I am absolutely convinced they're going to do revelation of method and use that lie to further demoralize and erode the last bit of trust that might exist in the world vis-a-vis authority. But Bart, we're going to take a short break and come back for hour two. Can you tell folks where they can find you, your work, and your book, please?
Yeah, just go to Sabrell.com. S as in Sam, I, B as in boy, R-E-L, Sabrell.com.
All right, so that's hour one of episode 568 with Jason Lindgren and Bart Sabrell. We're going to take a short break, come back for hour two. The first hour is free to everybody at crow777radio.com. Members know to log in for the full episode. Members get access to all forums. They can create forums. They get access to all the comment sections, and they can download the two-hour film called Shoot the Moon, which ironically enough covers all my moon work and telescopic work and solar work and actually chemtrail work. But with that, we're going to take a short break, and I hope to see you all logged in as members for hour two, and I'd like to wish you all a happy, healthy, and higher-minded new era. There it is, man. Cheers.
is the enemy of knowing.